Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Create Something Awesome Today podcast. I'm your host, Roberto Blake of RobertoBlake.com, helping you create something awesome today. So today on the podcast, we're going to talk about something that a lot of people in my audience and in general in the creative community struggle with all the time. And I know we've talked a lot this week about struggles, but I think it's important because many of you have things you're trying to overcome that are a barrier to you creating something awesome. And I want to help with that. So what we're going to talk about today is how you find clients. I know that's something that a lot of people have questions about, that a lot of people have been trying to do and are not having the success that they really want. And I think that there are some key things that I've been seeing from people's comments, from questions I've been answering in my consulting sessions with creatives, and from people in my YouTube and Facebook audiences that really stand out as something that keeps being said all the time. And I think that a lot of people, especially on the digital side, and I know I'm probably going to take a little bit of crap for this, but a lot of people, now that we live in the world of digital, don't want to get out from behind the computer and they don't want to actually interact with other human beings and pursue clients in that way. And the reason I bring it up is because I know a lot of people are looking at the fact that I'm very much a digital native and I play a lot in the digital space between YouTube and writing articles and now doing a podcast, that people could make the argument that I'm all in on digital, but I still am one of the few people in the creative space that probably uses a business card and orders 5,000-10,000 business cards every year. And there's a reason for that. Every human being that you meet and interact with as a creative is an opportunity, either for you to win them over and be able to provide value for them and their business or whatever endeavor that you might be able to help them with, or for them to now be aware of you and what value you do have to offer and recommend you and refer you to someone else. Now the question becomes, have you created the necessary conditions to be successful at that? So when you interact with another human being, do you have a non-gimmicky elevator pitch that communicates who you are and the value that you can create for them in terms of your business or your creative profession? If not, that's something that you really need to get comfortable talking about. Being a creative is not just making pretty pictures or doing arts and crafts or coding websites or whatever it is that you happen to do as a creative. It's not just clicking the shutter on your camera. It is salesmanship, or salespersonship, I should say. And it is also marketing. It is being human. It is problem solving. It is empathizing and relating to your potential clients or customers and meeting their needs. And you can't effectively do that if you don't have a way to present yourself without it turning into some crazy sales pitch or spiel. Interestingly and creatively, convey your value through storytelling and through example, and you need to have enough work to show your results to justify them using you and not having anxiety about it. Because at the end of the day, you're asking for an emotional investment as much as you are asking for their money. You're asking them to trust you with whatever it is that you're doing for them. And if it's the most important thing in the world to them or the most important thing in the world to them today, then that's a big commitment to make, especially if you don't have a prior relationship with them. And that's the other thing that a lot of people are not doing, is they want to make the sale. They don't want to build the relationship. It is easier to get that sale if you take the time to get to know someone, be likable and genuine and engage with them. And then when it's time to ask for something, you're not asking a lot of them. You're not asking for a lot of trust. You're not asking for a lot of on an emotional level, because you've already invested and built that relationship and reduced that anxiety. And now they're going to be more willing to make that commitment to you. What that translates to in terms of actionable advice, because that's what we're all about here on the Create Something Awesome Today podcast, getting you to execute, getting you to do something actionable. I would say that if you don't have business cards, go ahead and get some business cards made. Gotprint.com and Moo.com are great places to get business cards printed up. I've used them. I've done a review of both of them with the free samples they sent on my YouTube channel. They're not sponsoring the YouTube channel. They're not sponsoring this podcast. I'm recommending them to you because I've held the cards. I've held the other print materials in my hands, and I've done a video that can show you what this stuff looks like, what my impressions of how it felt like was, and the way that I would use these materials in marketing. So I would say investing in the optics of your own marketing is going to help you as a creative professional. And I know we live in a digital age, but if you're a photographer and you're lugging around all your equipment and you're running and gunning at a convention or a trade show, what's going to be easier? Passing out 50 business cards or exchanging phone details manually with 50 people at a time? And if you're doing that, you're not taking shots. So if you're a photographer, you absolutely should have business cards in a digital age. If you are a writer, I still recommend that you have a business card. I recommend you have that business card go to your website. If you're a writer, you should have a website. You should have something more than a free website with Weebly or something like that. I mean, it's okay to start, but I think you should have a website. I think you should be posting in Medium, and I think that you should be directing people to writing samples, and that when they go to your website, they should immediately be presented with what they need to make a business decision and an emotional connection with you and your work, and see what they need in order to decide to hire you. It shouldn't be fluff. You should get straight into it, much like I do with the intro of this podcast. So that would be my recommendation there. If you are a graphic designer, a business card is a great opportunity to show off some of your creative work, your ability to use a very small piece of real estate to execute effectively on design, typography, color psychology, and maybe show off some of your artwork. So I would highly recommend as a designer you do that, and I think there's a value there, and I think that you should take advantage of it and not just rely on digital. And the business card is not just to convey information for someone to be able to contact you. It is representative of how seriously you're taking your brand. So that's what I would use it as. And I would say, keep that in mind and invest in quality. Do not print them yourself off of a home printer. If you are not a designer, I would highly recommend that you work with a designer to design a professional business card or any marketing materials for you, and a logo to represent you if you don't have one. If you do it yourself, you're taking away time from the thing that you do better than anyone else in order to play at being a designer. So give them that work. If you're a designer and you don't have skills as a photographer, get an actual photographer to take headshots so you can market yourself effectively on your website, because people want to see you. They want to see a real human being, and they want to make a connection with you, and it's going to help you, I believe. So get some headshots done from a photographer that knows what they're doing and can, you know, process and edit your shots, or you can edit them yourself if you know Photoshop, but have them at least take the proper shots, because they'll know about the lighting, the composition, the focal lengths of the lenses, the bokeh, etc. If you're a designer, focus on design. Trade services with a photographer. Reach out to one. Find them and make an offer. Photographer, you can get your business cards from that designer and trade headshots for them. And then neither one of you had to make a huge financial commitment one way or the other, but you both get the value that you need. So I would recommend that. Reach out to a writer to help you with the marketing copy for your website in order to communicate well. If writing is not your thing and it's holding you back, the content in your website matters to people who are reading it. It matters to people. I've had an issue of having to have people help me with editing things because I type 90 words a minute. I'm better at video editing and talking than I am at editing my content. I'm a good writer, but I have editors for my writing relationships for a reason. And so even my website, I had to have someone go back through and do the editing. So I would recommend that if you're not strong at writing, that you find out what you can do to connect with a writer as a creative professional and get that done. Never take on things. I'll do a whole podcast about this, but outsource anything that you're not very good at. Anything that you're not very good at, you're not saving money by taking it on yourself. You're taking away time from the things you are good at that will make you money or make you more successful, or that you should be investing all of your energy into. So eliminating those distractions will help you get more clients, because when you're focused on what you need to do, when you have more time, you can write follow-up emails faster. You can call your clients because you'll have that time back. You can put more effort into the work that you're doing for them because you'll have that time back, because you're not wasting it on things that you can't do very well. So I would say, find a way to make that investment. And if it's not an investment of money, trade your services and leverage your skill in that area, in the thing that you're very good at, to get the best from someone who is better than you or the best at what they do. So that's what I would recommend there. Now, in terms of how you actually execute on this on the client side, for those of you who are struggling to get new clients, you have to do an honest self-evaluation and ask yourself if you're doing everything you can to get clients. And by that, I mean, do you have a body of work that if somebody doesn't just want to take the time to look at 10 samples, if they feel this is a big commitment for me, how many samples do you think it takes for someone to make a $5,000 investment for the year with you? And that sounds like a lot of money, but if you're a designer, that's a whole personal brand. And that's a minimum, I would say, for a whole visual brand developed for either an individual as a personal brand or a business over the course of 12 months. $5,000 is not a lot of money to ask for those 10 projects that might make up. That's actually a very small amount of money in terms of commitment for what they're getting, but they might be on a budget or they might be a startup. So that would be reasonable. But understand what you would do in terms of knowing that a $5,000 to $10,000 relationship is on the line. How many samples of proving your work do you think is appropriate for that conversation? So that's what your portfolio, your overall largest body of work that you're presenting should look like. And that might not be your 10 best pieces. That might be 20 or 30 pieces of a specific thing that you deliver on. Just one thing to prove that you can do that particular skill that they're looking at. And then it might be 20 to 30 to 50 pieces of another thing and another and another. So you have to think about what the client that might have the most anxiety about hiring you, what would it take to sell them? How much work do they need to see to feel like they have the proof that you're not fly by night, that you're not just straight out of college, or that even if you are, that you're not an amateur at this? What does that look like? And I will tell you, as someone who has to hire people to do various things for me, that 10 samples is not enough unless they are mind-blowing for me to feel like I'm going to invest. If I were going to have somebody do the audio work for this podcast, I care enough about this podcast where I would want the option, even if I don't listen to all of them, I'd want to see that they have 30 to 50 samples of what they've done at this for a certain amount of clients. And then I would be comfortable. So that's why I'd look at something like Music Radio Creative, is they've done tremendous work and I know people who've used them. So understand that referral business, reputations, and a large body of work all matter in how you present. And it's the difference between closing, because it might not be that you're not interacting with enough people. It may be that you have poor closing rates or poor conversion rates. Of all the people that you hand a business card, or all the people that you talk to, or all the people who go to your website, how many of them are converting to clients? And why or why not? And for some of you, is that the shallow body of work that you're presenting is the issue. So I would highly recommend that if you are only showing your 10 best pieces, that even if that's what you show up front, you give people the option to go as deep down that rabbit hole as they want to, or as they need to feel comfortable to make an investment. That's what my suggestion would be. So, do you have a body of work that can sell this client that you're not selling? Have you presented your truly best work? Have you done an honest audit? Have you culled out work that's weaker and replaced it with something stronger? Or if you don't feel, well, I don't have enough strong samples of this service that I want to offer, do self-initiated work in that area, even if it's not for a client, so that you can present that you have the capability and the skills to execute it at a high level. And if you have client work that you aren't satisfied with, but was a high profile client, weigh the value of the execution against the value of the name and think about who your audience is, and will they care more about that high profile company, or will they care that it doesn't look as good as the rest of your work and what happened here? So I understand that sometimes clients will make decisions about the work that will mean the result won't be what you would want to present. My recommendation is that you have to decide how you want to approach this. What you could do is, after the client has approved it, do it the way that you think it should have been done, or you should have done that and presented that option anyway. And you can put the work from the pitch and not necessarily what was approved in your book, because it's still representative of the fact that they commissioned you to do work. You did this work for them. They may not have approved it. They may have done a final result that was very different, but at the end of the day, they still commissioned you to do that work. So it's legitimate for you to present it. And agencies do this all the time. Not every piece of creative that an agency presents was something that was ultimately approved or taken to the final version. It's what they feel best reflects their work and what they want clients to think about when making a decision whether they're going to go with them or not. So I would say to get over whatever your own hangups are where that's concerned, or you could not take my advice, but I feel that this would help you if you just really look at how you can present your best work. And I think that the way I've told you to go about this is still completely ethical and upfront, because at the end of the day, if they ask you, you can just tell them and they'll respect it. I have not had a situation, and I've never heard of an agency having a situation where it's been a problem, because at the end of the day, your clients want you to produce your best work for them in the context of what they think your best work is. And if somebody asked you to do it quote unquote wrong, or what you don't feel is your best work, why show that to them and let them feel that that does reflect your best? Because that's the assumption they're making, is that this is what you feel is your best work. So don't show anything but your best work, or what you feel is your best work. In terms of finding clients, since we've talked about, okay, what do you do if you're in a situation where you've, you know, already interacted with somebody? Finding clients is not as difficult as a lot of people, whether they're a designer, whether they're a visual artist, whether they're a photographer. Finding clients is not as hard as people make it out to be. I think that the creativity that people have is disproportionately focused on the execution of their work, which is fine. If you don't feel you can creatively problem solve, maybe you need to outsource. And maybe that's the thing that you could do. Or if you're an introverted person, maybe you outsource and all of your sales pipeline comes from someone else who presents your work for you and is good at talking to people and good at finding people that fit your niche. And maybe they can negotiate better than you as a business person and get you a maximum premium rate. And so maybe you do that. And it doesn't have to be an art rep or a company. It could be an individual that you partner with that just has that skill set as a salesperson and a marketing person. So understand that that relationship could be very valuable. But if you are going to do it yourself so that you keep more of your money, my recommendation would be that you start going to local business events in your area, and even outside your area. Because if you go to these business events, these are people who have a need for creative services professionals, whether that's designers, whether that's illustrators, whether that's writers, whether that's marketers, whether that's photographers, whether it's video editing or audio editing. These are the people who are likely to, one, have the budget, two, need the service, and then three, really want to actually commit to something substantial. These people, and there's nothing wrong with mom and pop businesses or solopreneurs, but it's going to be harder for you to put yourself in situations to interact with those people per se if they're not already in your circle. But if you go to a business and networking event, people are there specifically to meet with other people that represent a relationship that solves a problem and a need that they have. So by putting yourself there as a creative services professional, everyone who is already there needs what you have to offer, so that you're going to get meaningful contacts out of that, and you're probably going to convert some of those people to clients. Or even if you don't convert those people to clients, they'll be in a position, if you have a good conversation with them, to recommend you to someone else. So I would say it's definitely worth taking the time to have good conversations. It's about building trust. And if you have your work on a smartphone so that you can present it right there on the fly without whipping out a laptop, which I highly recommend, then you're in a position to have that person think well enough of you, even without using you, to pass your name along or to make an introduction to someone who absolutely does need what you have to offer. So that's how I would go about finding relationships and new clients in the real world, is to go local and go to events and conferences abroad and to make those connections one-on-one and sell people on your services and your personality. Now, for those of you who may not be in a position to do that, or you prefer to market yourself online, as I do, I actually do both of these things. But in terms of marketing yourself online, that is about a discovery strategy. So that means that people have to be looking for what you have to offer. So there are a couple of ways to approach that. You can do it in the form of content marketing, which I prefer to do, but you can also do it by engaging directly in online networks, which I also do, such as LinkedIn, Facebook, Google+. Those are strong areas for building relationships, and that's all down to marketing and creating value and connecting with people and not being sales pitchy, not being spammy. You have to actually engage, and that's what's going to do it. Also, creating content ties into that strategy because it gets people to pay attention to you and notice you and who you are, and then drill down and look deep into what you can provide because you've now given away free knowledge and you've proven your authority. So now it makes sense to look to someone who's authoritative and is intellectual or very savvy or communicates very well and say that, you know what, I liked what they had to say about this particular topic. They seemed very competent. I'm going to potentially hire this person to actually execute on this particular thing for me. And so now you have that situation. And so that's how you do that direct marketing in social media. And again, I preference LinkedIn, Facebook, and Google Plus for this, but you can also do it in Twitter. Twitter's more conversational. And I still feel you can use content as the incentive or as a way of getting inbound communication, inbound traffic going, inbound marketing, if you will, for that. And Twitter's just a very interesting way to do that because it is more human and it is more real time. So there could be an issue there where that's not appropriate for you just based on the fact that you can't respond and react in real time or make that investment or commitment of your time. So you might need to go the other way with that and go what I would call more of the route that we used back in the early 2000s, late 90s in terms of using LinkedIn and Facebook and Google Plus the way that people used message boards and forums. They're just a better version of that when it comes down to it. Now, another way is utilizing your website as a hub, but the only way to really attract attention to your website, and SEO is not entirely dead, but realize that it's a saturated market and then people are doing pay-to-play stuff and people are also doing black hat cheating methods to try and rank for those things so that content and long form and long tail content is probably the best way to rank high in Google because there is a niche there and there's value there and there's a better chance that you might have the best or most comprehensive or wordy or interesting article or the one that has the most media content in terms of images or video or audio on a particular topic than to compete on purely a phrase or a keyword. That's why content marketing is so important. And again, if you're not good at this, you may need to partner with someone who is. I just happen to be very good at this in addition to the other talents and skills that I have. In fact, I may in fact be a better marketer than I am a graphic designer. I may be a better marketer than I am a photographer. I might be a better marketer than I am a video production editing person. I'm probably certainly a better marketer than I am podcaster since I'm new at that. But the point is that every piece of content you create is an opportunity for you to make a connection that can lead to something very good for your business, whether that's a new client or some other opportunity. So I would highly encourage you to invest in creating content as a means of building a funnel and a pipeline for your sales. I can't tell you how many clients that I've gotten from my YouTube videos, and that was not the original intent or purpose of my YouTube videos when I started out, but it did have that benefit indirectly. So I'm very grateful that that happened. I also got a lot of great business relationships and partnerships as a result of that particular content. My blog has obviously converted into more people discovering me and more people hiring me for services. So the more content you have out there, the more things that represent or act as an avatar for you, those things are marketing and selling your business while you're asleep. They are marketing and selling your business when you can't be there physically. So I would highly recommend that you think of a strategy for exposure and discovery, and that you understand that quality is good, but quantity and quality combined are better than either could be alone, and that each of those things is an opportunity. So that is important. And the more volume that you have in your niche, the more authoritative you're going to be perceived. So there is a method to that madness of people who put out daily content. And I understand that that's not sustainable or possible for everyone, but I highly encourage you to take on the challenge of, if it can't be long form daily content, that you approach some kind of daily marketing strategy of some kind, even if it has to be micro content. Every day you're not marketing yourself is an opportunity missed to make a sale. So I would say that if you feel, well, I don't have the time to make content every day, or I don't have the time to do a podcast every week, or a YouTube video every week, or write an article every day, or write a blog post, or tweet every day, or post an Instagram, then what you're telling me is that you don't have the time to invest in opportunities for new customers and new clients to discover you. So if you're wondering why you're struggling with clients or that you don't have clients, and then you're saying you don't have the time to market, that's the reason why. If I didn't market myself, I don't know how I would get customers. As it is, my marketing is effective enough to allow me to get 10 to 20 projects a month consistently, but it's also allowed me to do things with various other opportunities to where if I got zero clients, it wouldn't mean that I had a zero income month because the content itself was something I was able to monetize or turn into other relationships that lead to revenue. So I would highly encourage you to also consider, which I will cover in a whole nother podcast, the opportunity of marketing yourself to also become an opportunity to use content as passive income, something that I'm going to be covering in a webinar that I'm doing with How Design and How University coming up later this week. If you're listening to this today, then when it's coming out, which is Saturday, if you're listening to this Saturday, June 20th, then this week, on, I believe, the 22nd or the 23rd will be my live webinar. I will have a link in the show notes on the website. That's when I will have a live webinar with How Design, How University on passive income for creative professionals. And the reason I bring that up is if I did not have content that led to the relationship that I have with How Design and How University, I wouldn't be doing a writing relationship as well as paid webinars with them, which also is a form of income beyond my design clients that directly ties into my design business. And there are other opportunities out there as well. So I would say that every day that you're not marketing yourself is a day that you haven't created the circumstances that will lead to client relationships in the future or in the present. So take the time, invest the time into your business to market it appropriately and to make an impact in your niche and to get attention because it is worth it. You could be one piece of content away from scaling your business to six figures. You don't know that. You don't know that not making the content will, you know, be detrimental. You don't know that if you took the time to make the content that it won't dramatically change the direction of your business. And I would highly encourage you to do that and to look for the value that you can create and to find a way to market yourself without being spammy, be 100% authentic, and just be as transparent as you can as far as your process and what you have to offer someone. There is a market for it. I'm almost positive that for anything that you would have to offer, that if done effectively, there is an opportunity for you to be successful at it. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed today's podcast on how to find clients as a creative professional. If you still have questions about how you specifically find clients as a creative professional, although I'm fairly certain that I've covered enough of it in this 30-minute long episode, then reach out to me on Twitter, at Roberto Blake on Twitter, and I will try and answer as many of your questions as I possibly can. You can also check out my YouTube channel, youtube.com/RobertoBlake2, where I've done extensive videos, over 400 videos to date, to help creative professionals learn, grow, and improve their situation. That's it for today's podcast. This is Roberto Blake of RobertoBlake.com, hoping you will create something awesome today.